Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
This is Radio City Talk.
Boxing in Liverpool is on a real high. Steve Lillis from Box Nation joins us on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Alan.
Another great weekend of boxing in Liverpool. How did it go?
Yeah, it was a good night yet again. It seems every weekend now someone's coming on your show on a Monday morning and saying, what a great weekend of boxing in Liverpool, eh? I mean, if you were saying this during the winter about Liverpool and Everton, you'd be winning leagues every year, wouldn't you?
Ah, I wish.
it was a great night. Liam Smith, Liam Smith looked good, but you know the opponent wasn't the greatest. Let's not start saying that when Predrag Radicevic got in the ring, he looked like a world beater from the off. He didn't. He was hurt in the first round with a body shot, and the fight was punched out of him pretty much there, and it was a case of how long before Liam got the job done. But what Liam did, he didn't, he was pinpoint accuracy, and he did what good fighters do to, average challengers. But I think now's the time for Liam to kick on and fight the best in his division, because he's certainly up there with the best. And
who's next for him then?
Well, you know what, Miguel Cotto's his mandatory contender for the WBO belt, but no one seems to know where Miguel Cotto's going to fight or what his plans are. And of course, I know that's the fight that Joe Gallagher, his trainer, and Liam Smith really fancy. There is an offer on the table from the camp of Canelo Alvarez for Liam to go to Las Vegas. I think that's on September the 16th or 17th. And that could be, that is an option for him. Now, I've no idea what the money is like to go to Las Vegas and fight Canelo. But that offer's certainly on the table. And I'm sure this week he'll be speaking to Frank Warren about it. Or if you've got Frank on the show, he could tell you a bit more about it. But
we haven't today anyway.
And there's definitely been an offer. So that's also out there for him. I mean, you look at the world champions, the WBA champion, Erisandi Lara, he's beatable, but he's an awkward Cuban. And that would be a tough fight for Liam. The Charlo twins, Jamel and Jamal, who have got the WBC and IBF, I'd back Liam against tomorrow, without a doubt. But whether you're going to get them out of America for unifications is another thing. And I think Al Haymon, who advises them, will keep them well away from Beefy. I think his biggest hope of a big immediate big fight is the Canelo Alvarez one. But again, he's not going to go over to Las Vegas if the offer doesn't add up well for him.
Did you expect him to dispose of Radicevic, if that's the correct pronunciation, as early as he did?
Look, I expect him to beat him comfortably, not maybe as early as he did, because Radicevic did go four rounds against Felix Sturm, who's a natural middleweight. He spent a lot of his career at middleweight. He moaned he only had 2 weeks' notice for that Sturm fight, and this time he had 8 weeks' notice. So I don't think, I expect him to go that quick. But it would have been a surprise if Liam had been taken into the second half of the fight, I think.
The Echo was certainly saying that, Beefy would like to go to Vegas. I'm sure he would. The deal's got to be right, as you say. And in terms of the weight, there wouldn't be the same issues that Amir Khan had in meeting Canelo, would there?
No, it would have to be £154 for Liam's WBO Super Welterweight title, and Canelo Alvarez would have to weigh in at a pound less.
Yes.
How Canelo Alvarez even gets to 155, I've no idea. when he fought Amir Khan,
180, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I heard the other day from someone close to Amir Khan, it was actually 182.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's mad to put on that sort of weight. Yeah. I don't think Liam's big, Liam is a big, big, solid super welterweight. But I don't think even he goes to 180.
No, not at all. Just on the bill on Saturday at the Echo Arena, we had Tom Stalker in with us on Thursday. He again did the business.
I'm absolutely delighted for Tom winning a professional title, the WBO European title. I don't think there's anybody in boxing who you'll hear a bad word said about Tom Stalker, from his days as an elite amateur boxer and captain of Great Britain to when he's turned pro, firstly with Matchroom and before moving over to Frank Warren and MGM Marbella. He's such a popular fella, and he had that bad luck in those two fights against Craig Evans last year for the same title when they were both draws, particularly the first fight when he was absolutely robbed. And on Saturday, he was fantastic. When he boxes at range, Tom, He's magnificent to watch. He's got everything. Mm. It's just when he gets close in, he gets a little bit involved. But when he's at range, he's really, really is good to watch. And the move to Marbella has really worked for him, yeah. Just like it has for another Liverpool boxer, Derry Matthews.
Yeah. Tom Stalker said he'd jump at the chance to fight Terry Flanagan. Could you see that one coming off?
Hey, you never say never. It's an easy fight to make. But, you know, Terry's got this fight against his Makhani Fana on the Tyson Fury Klitschko bill, in July. So he's got that out of the way first. I mean, I understand Terry could defend again. It's in September. I know, just like Eddie Hearn is trying to do for Anthony Crawler, for his world title, Frank Warren's trying to get Jorge Linares for a date for Terry Flanagan. So... If they can't get that, who knows? And also, Terry will have a mandatory defence put on him by the end of the year, and Tom won't be his mandatory challenger. But hey, the chances aren't great, but I certainly wouldn't rule out Tom being in the opposite corner if Terry's struggling to get, you know, can't get Linares in September. It's very possible, and particularly if Terry has a mandatory later this year, he might see Tom as a routine defence. And of course, it would add up the fight because it brings that Manchester Liverpool rivalry into it again.
Yeah, of course, yeah, which we would all welcome, of course. So let's hope something can be done on that front. What else was on the bill in terms of the undercard at the weekend, Steve?
Yeah, Ryan Farag, who boxes, Liverpool boxer, who boxes out of the Everton Red Triangle, he defended his... European bantamweight title against Karim Gurfi, a decent French opponent, and it didn't go right for Ryan. He was stopped in the third round. It was a brutal fight. The 8 or 9 minutes it lasted. Ryan had got off to a great start. Then Karim come back into the second round, and then he just got caught by an enormous left hand in the third round and was on his back. He got up, but he was in no condition to continue at all, Ryan. He'll learn from that. Well, I think the biggest problem Ryan's got, he fights every round as if it's his last in the boxing ring.
Right.
He's magnificent to watch, but you know, it cost him dearly the other night. But look, he'll go back to the drawing board. He knows where he went wrong. And what he's got to do is just slow down a little bit and just not treat every second of the fight like it's the last one. Mm. And of course, Zelani Tete, the adopted South African Scouser, who calls himself the Scouser African, he looked magnificent again. He beat Victor Ruiz in an IBF international bantamweight title fight. And I know Frank Warren's hoping that he could maybe get Lee Haskins to the Echo Arena, the IBF bantamweight world champion, to defend against Tete later in the year. Haskins' manager, Chris Sanagar, was ringside the other night. And he was, would have been impressed by Tete. So it all depends on the money. Also, another good win for Liverpool on the undercard was Stephen Lewis, who took his unbeaten record to 10. He dished out a horrible beating over eight rounds to Marek Loskowski, a Pole who lives in Scotland. How Loskowski's got through it. He stopped in the eighth round. How he got that far in the fight isn't anyone's guess. Mm. He took a fearful beating. And right, when the doors opened at 5 o'clock, Kevin Satchel, the Liverpool flyweight, he beat Brett Fido on points.
Right, good. Good stuff. What was the problems with Paul Butler then, Steve?
He didn't make the weight for super flyweight. He didn't make the 8 stone 3. Weighed in just under 2 pounds. He's had this problem past the last few fights. He never, he couldn't get the weight off. On the Friday morning, he decided he was going to bantamweight. He said something which he most probably thought was private to a journalist off the record. It ended up on a website and the Boxing Board of Control pulled the fight.
Right, right. Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. It cost him a lot of money, the website article. It cost him, the opponent was still willing to take the fight because he was only a pound over. But I dare say now Paul will most probably be in action, I guess, in September,
right.
And that'll be at bantamweight. He just cannot, his body just cannot do super flyweight anymore.
Okay, Steve, well, great to have you on. Just finally, was it well supported at the weekend?
Yeah, look, I mean, it wasn't, there was about 2,000-3,000 in there, I'd say. You know, of course, you had the big one at Goodison last week, which took a lot of people out of the market. But, you know, they still, by the time Liam Liam Smith got in the ring, there was a nice atmosphere and the usual raucous Liverpool crowd.
You wouldn't expect anything else on the Sunday.
You don't expect anything. If I come on here and said it was silent in there, you'd have me shot.
Well, it's great to have you on as always, Steve. Thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure, Alan.
That's Steve Lillis from Box Nation joining us to review what happened over the course of the weekend. A wonderful win for Beefy, another of the Smith brothers.
Radio City Talk.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.